Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful, as always, that you've tuned in. And we ask that you share today's podcast with your friends and family throughout the state and really throughout the nation, because what we're going to be sharing with you is something that's going to be affecting every family in the country. So first of all, I just want to say hello to our guest. We've got our co-host. Might as well call her our co-host because she helps us tremendously, Dawn Walvin, from the Tea Parties in California. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Diana. How are you today?
Oh, thank you. Great, because you are on, and also our other friend, I think that's Lou.
I'm here, Diana.
Oh, thank God for Lou. Yes, Dr. Lou Campomenosi, and he is from the Mobile area. He is with a Tea Party that's trying to remind us of we need common sense. And so, Lou, we're just grateful. And, you know, really, this is a pivotal time in our state's history, Lou, where I think by next week, if we do not act right, there is going to be a sea change that most parents have never thought in their lifetime that they would see. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, the importance of what's fixing to affect Alabama. It has already affected California. And so I'm so glad you're on with us because, Dawn, we need your input on what's already happening. And but first of all, we want to give this to conversation to God in prayer. So if you don't mind, I'm going to start us off in prayer. And I'm going to just quote something that I love. I thank God for his word, which is a lamp unto our feet. And, you know, I love this scripture in Psalm 347 and 8. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And, you know, we don't really have the money. We don't have the power. We don't have the positions that can move mountains. But we have a big God, and he is around us. So we just ask him. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the God of this nation, that, Lord, this nation was founded on your word. And out of compassion, when you heard the prayers of the likes of George Washington and many others, Lord, you moved heaven and earth. and you allowed this great land, the United States of America, to be born. And Lord, it has been a blessing not just to the people that live here today, but Lord, to those in other countries of the world. So we are so grateful. And today we just come asking that you give us the wisdom, the words to say, to get across to the listeners throughout this land, Lord, what is going to happen to the children, Lord, if we are not awake. So we ask that you help us to awaken them, help us to give them the information you want us to give. And Lord, again, we pray that you intervene in the affairs of man, Lord, Heavenly Father, as you did back then. And Lord, give us mercy and help us to fight the good fight. And Lord, bring the children back to you. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm really, really excited about what's going on, Lou. First of all, I guess I haven't had you on for a while. And Lou, you know, we didn't have the two bills in Alabama. One of them is that House Bill 254 and the Senate Bill 190. We did not have that last year.
No, we
have something to fight this year. So if you don't mind, tell the listeners a little bit about that and what's going on.
Well, the short story is that we really failed last year to stop Common Core through the budgetary process. And I think those of us who have been involved with this and trying to rescind it through the Board of Education, which failed too in 2011, learned a pretty bitter lesson. And that basically we needed to be more aggressive about this and force the legislature to come to grips with what it can in fact do, which is to be supreme in the education policy. And so I think just getting our hands around that idea was really what propelled us to the point where several people, particularly Alois Zena, started to consult with outside lawyers, and we were able to draft a bill which is passing constitutional muster. And it's at this point, it's as you just said, we have a Senate Bill 190, and we've got the House Bill 254, I think it is. And what is extremely important, Diana, and your listeners need to understand this, is that next week we're going to have the first public hearings on this. And what we're hoping is that the Senate bill is going to get voted on immediately. That's what we're asking our senators to do. Now, listen to this. This is really critical, too. Right now, we have, I think it is 20 of the 22 senators in the Alabama State Senate who are supporting. They've already signed on to SB 190. So we have the momentum, and we are encouraged by what we're hearing. And we're really, I spoke to someone this morning who was up in Montgomery. We really believe that we're going to have every one of the senators as a sponsor, which means that the momentum is with us, okay? Now, having said that, the good news is that the House is working with us too. Mary Sue McClurkin, who is the chairman of the Education Committee, she is going to hold She's going to hold her meeting next Wednesday too, and we're hoping that it's going to be a joint meeting, which will expedite the whole process. So what's happening, Diana, and this is one of the things we need to get out, and I'm going to do this afternoon through our Tea Party Network. We're going to make sure that we have as many people as possible calling their House of Representative member, because we have got to make sure that the House is with us. And I think we are, but we're trying to get a feel for what the vote looks like right now. I mean, it's very difficult to do this. We don't have, you know, access to, you know, people who are up there canvassing and finding out. Okay, but the bottom line is we'll have a fairly good idea. And the fact that the House Chairman of the Education Committee is willing to do this is an indication that we do have support. And our feeling is that once this goes forward in the Senate, the momentum is going to be there. It's going to be very difficult to stop. And that's why we really want to make sure that we are getting as much public support with our house members as possible, starting this weekend, really, right through next week. So that's the update that I have to bring in. It's a pretty hopeful message right now.
Wow. Well, I'm really excited because that is news to me, that she is pressing forward, that she has come on the right side of this, which when I heard a little bit about who she was, I thought, really, I have no doubt that she would come on the right side of this. But, Dawn, right. You who are there in California, you know the pressure that can be put in these leadership in the committees. And so this is why the phone calls and all this mass contact is so important, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we know that we've heard from representatives themselves that statistically as few as 17 constituents calling a representative about any issue could possibly change their vote. So it's really important that, you know, everybody calls and gives their opinion and asks them, change your vote or read the bill or whatever it is. I mean, it's
right.
So important.
And, Dawn, one of the things I'm so glad that you're on to, because, you know, there's people that are listening that, you know, I got a phone call today, you know, about the county that this person lives in, and she'll talk to people about this, and they act like they've never heard of such a thing. So let me give them a quick study on this, Dawn. If you don't mind, tell them what will happen, because, unfortunately, you're living under it.
What will happen if they don't?
Well,
stop
the children. What's already in the schools? Yes, you're already suffering in California.
Well, absolutely. You know, we have been hard pressed to stop a lot of the bad legislation. We have Common Core here. They want to start getting that going in the schools. They've passed laws now where counselors can't even talk to kids that are questioning their quote-unquote sexuality. We are taking away parents' rights and control left and right. We have school classes where they have pictures of Che Guevara up on the classroom, and we're talking music teachers and mathematicians. It is completely onslaught of socialist agenda. And the fact is, California is 48th and 49th in reading and math. That's where our state lies. And so you can see that the agenda of the administrations that have pushed these really failed policies forward have only induced dumber kids, basically. And it's a more dangerous environment for kids.
Oh, indeed. And as far as, you know, the what this does, all the money, Lou, you know, so much money is being spent on Common Core to the point that I think that's one of the things that's bankrupt in California, because they're trying to find money to, you know, be in line with the Common Core standards. And we're going to be forced into that. And I was just seeing on Facebook about the concerns with our own judicial system, Lou, not having the money set aside. And what people don't recognize yet is that the $100 million that was set aside last year for iPads for grades 9 through 12, that is a requirement of Common Core, and that is just going to be part of it. $100 million for 9 through 12 graders to get this computerization going. So
right.
I think Alabama's going to be in for a shock.
Well, and yeah, I mean, the number that we've heard. And again, this is one of the problems we've had all along with this, because the Board of Education, when they initially adopted Common Core, they never did a cost estimate. They did this on the fly simply because Bob Riley, the former governor, wanted to do it, and he had enough, you know, supporters on the board to go along with him. Bottom line is that the numbers that we've heard are about $220 to $260 million for California. Given the size of the population, I mean, I think, Dawn, aren't you up about over $1.5 billion? Isn't that what you're looking at in terms of cost?
Oh, absolutely. And people don't recognize the fact that this isn't a matter of, oh, we're going to change a textbook. This is a matter of absolutely everything will change, including we will have to retrain teachers.
Right. And then there's the ongoing problem of, okay, once you get this going, then you can't just walk away from it. You have to have an infrastructure. There's a logistical side to this, you know, the constant updating, fixing it, working it. You know, it's a monster in and of itself. And then the insidious thing is that the people who have put all this together, the Gates Foundation, they're the ones who are going to make a lot of money off of this because it's all computer driven. I mean, that's one of the little secrets that no one wants to talk about. But my goodness, I mean, if anyone else was doing this, I mean, the press would be all over this. But no, they are in bed with all of this because, and you put your finger on it, okay? California was one of the top states in terms of education. It has always been historically that way. And now you're looking at the kind of ratings you have, and all this is going to do is drive those ratings further down because they don't want educated people. They don't want they have de-emphasized literary the typical literature that we always have. They want informational text. They're going to read stuff about, you know, what Obama says. I mean, look, we can all go crazy about this, but the reality is this is extremely dangerous, and it is going to drive a stake in our democracy because we are not going to have people who are going to be able to think critically about anything, and that's exactly what these people want. They don't want people to be able to say, oh, well, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, it's part of this whole, you know, attack on liberty through bureaucratic, you know, rules and regulations. And the people who are doing this, these experts, they really have a sense of entitlement because they're the smart people. They're the ones who know more. And we just have got to go along with it because we are just the dumb fools. And, you know, we'll put you on the right path. That's the thinking. And I'll tell you something, you know, they can think all they want about all that, but they are going to find a great deal of resistance, which they are already finding. And I guarantee you, we are not going to give up on this simply because a bunch of elitist idiots are forcing this down our throats. And Alabama is going to do the right thing and send a message. And once we do that, I really think that the ball is going to start moving across the country to start rescinding. Of course, you know, in California, it's going to be a lot harder because, you know, you've got, you know, a socialist, you know, legislature. At least we've got people here who are, you know, fairly conservative on most issues. And in Alabama itself, I mean, the state is one of the reddest states around. So we've got some built-in advantages. But I'll tell you something, just having a built-in advantage is nothing unless we take advantage of that, and I guarantee you that's what we're trying to do.
Well, Lou, we are going to take advantage of that, and I think, you know, one of the things that I think is going to be a key for California is, you know, I think about what they did with Prop 8. You know, what they did with Prop 8 was monumental. You know, they made a stand, and I'm thinking they're going to do that again because the more parents hear, it's just like, you know, when you talk to somebody about this thing and they start getting it, they want to know more about
right.
it. And when they finally do read more stuff on it, they're in shock, and then they want to move. They're calling us, telling us, what can we do? We're getting phone calls from people saying, let me know what to do. And I feel like that's what's going to happen in California, too, when parents get wind. And, you know, of the truth that now, you know, the Allah is God curriculum, I think, oh, Lord, that came out at the right time. Because now that helps us really to paint that this is not just a conspiracy theory. This is really happening. The indoctrination that's being planned for your children is already happening. You're seeing Texas, a very conservative state. And, Lou, you got to hear what Alice Linehan said. So if you don't mind, share what your thoughts were on what she shared about that curriculum.
Well, I mean, the whole thing that was going on there in Texas is that they snuck this thing called C-Scope in, you know, through the back door. And despite the fact that Texas, in their legislature and in their Board of Education, has been fourscore against any kind of liberalization, particularly in textbooks, they have fought the good fight on textbooks for the last few years. But they certainly made it a point that they weren't going down the road of Common Core. And so what some of these people have been able to do is to implement a curriculum assistance program that's all computer-driven, and there was very little supervision about it. No one really knew what was going on, and then suddenly it blew up in their faces because people started to take notice of what was being said, what the content was, and it was directly opposed to everything that the Texas legislature and their Board of Education has stood for. And so one thing led to another, and we've seen this on the Internet. One of the legislators has been on TV, and he's been on Fox News, and he's got a little video on the Internet, as you can see, and they have put a stop to what is going on with this C-scope. So, again, even if we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, as Texas has been doing, there's still the danger that these people are so slippery that they will still have their way, even though we are moving in a completely different direction, as Texas shows. So I would argue that once we get finished with, repealing Common Core, we are going to have to make sure that it is fully divested out of our system, because, they have their interest and they have their folks who are going to be supporting it. We have got to make sure that our standards are redone along the lines of our previous standards, which were rated A- and B+ in math and English. I mean, that's what is so absurd about all of this. So I think that that's it.
Wondering, Lou, if coming out of this from another perspective is a good idea, too, is to whether or not we can close down the funding mechanism for these policies, because we can fight and try to change the policy, and you know as well as I do, trying to change anything at a Capitol or in D.C. once it's put into operation is difficult.
Right.
But if we could defund it, then at least we would slow the progress and then hopefully be able to just wipe out the program altogether.
I completely agree. And I think the problem here, though, is that, even though the Republicans in the House have tried to defund Race to the Top and all the rest of this, they, because we are in this continuing resolution, there hasn't been a budget in 4 years, that
exactly.
What's happened is that the money is still flowing. And I think that I would hope that we can convince the Republican, House leadership that they have got to draw the line in the sand on this and stop it. Because if they don't, we are losing our country as we speak. That's how serious it is. And yet, everyone that I've heard, and particularly Uni Smith, who runs Eagle Forum here in Alabama, Uni has spent a lot of time up there talking to the various, our congressional delegates. And I guarantee you, they are not in favor of this. But I think their hands are tied, and so we've got to figure out a way to break this Gordian knot and make sure that at least that they're willing to fight and if necessary – take the heat on a shutdown. I mean, look, we've had the sequester problem. We've got another issue coming up. I mean, we keep going on this fiscal cliff business, and the Democrats keep pushing us further and further along. And at some point, we can't be borrowing 40 or 43 cents for every dollar because we don't have it. I mean, that's what is so absurd about all of us.
I'm not even worried about the sequestration because I think it's a false fight anyway.
I agree with that. All I'm saying is that there seem to be distractions here that are taking us off the central question, which is A, fiscal sanity, and linking fiscal sanity to cutting these programs that have absolutely no business being implemented. So.
And how about the ones that we know for a fact, based on the government's own studies, don't work, like Head Start? We have the government saying flat out that by the third grade, it makes little or no difference whether or not a kid's ever been in Head Start, and yet we spend billions on a program already, and you have the president during the State of the Union saying, oh, no, it's pre-K education that's going to change.
Right, we have to do more. Right, exactly. Go ahead.
Here's my other thought on the subject, too. What better way to push the government and its cronies to start doing what parents want to see in education than to really increase the competition between a public school system and a private school system. So how about, like, you know, us trying to really push charters and school choice and, you know, those kinds of things. You know, it's so desperate here in California, and then the unions know how bad it would be if every parent truly had their own choice, that we can only implement 100 charter schools a year.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
so
yeah, and
you know they already see that as competition, because then goes away the unions, because it's a complete privatization of education. And frankly, for the amount of money my state spends on education, between what teachers get paid, and don't be fooled, people, that teachers are you know, living in poverty all over the country.
Right.
In my state, they're making upwards of $70,000 in just salary. This does not include their taxpayer-funded pensions,
right,
and their benefits
medical
that
care.
Go along with
right.
it.
Right. Right.
So parents have to look at how much money we're talking about. It's not about we don't want, and every time you turn around, folks, aren't they always telling you this or that is for the children? They don't care about your kids. The only thing that your kid matters to them is that from the minute it enters the school system, it is another pliant mind that can be added as a drone to their agenda. By the time that child reaches college, you already have them voting in the direction you want them to vote, because they've been pliant all along.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the main point, I think, with our fight, you know, is how can you say education will be better when you're taking out the input of the person that's most vested in that child's education, the parent. So, you know, it's an oxymoron. But I want to ask, too, Lou, about HB, talking about distractions, which HB 84 that passed, the Flex Act, you know, they passed that really quick, that, you know, that's a Hubbard bill. And I'm thinking to myself, it's just pure distraction, and people are really confused. But we know it is not going to give local control. It cannot do that like they're saying it will.
No, of course it can't, because as long as Common Core is instituted in Alabama, then it is going to override everything. And that has been our argument all along. And, of course, people like Mary Scott Hunter and Tracy Roberts, you know, they've come out with this latest article extolling the virtues of Common Core and basically saying that we're in charge. That has never been the case. It cannot be the case. And the fact of the matter is that everywhere that you see Common Core being implemented, you're getting the feedback now that the teachers are frustrated, that they feel like their hands are tied, that there is no flexibility, and there can be no flexibility because it's a top-down approach. So the flexibility bill, for all it sounds, you know, as doing something, will only be workable if we get rid of Common Core. Then the flexibility bill actually could have some bearing on what local, you know, superintendents and local school boards would like to be able to do. But in the absence of getting rid of Common Core, they can forget it. It's a meaningless gesture as far as I'm concerned.
Well, if you guys want to know how bad your bill must be, I called Diana, what was the same day it was passed or something, that our governor was touting how they were going to allow all the control to go back locally and allow the flexibility. If California is using the same language that you all are using, you are in big trouble.
Exactly.
What
no
a mess.
Doubt.
What a mess. Yeah, listen,
Diana, listen, I'm at Tulane right now, and I'm teaching a bit. So
thank you,
have
Luke.
To get off. But I
really
appreciate the opportunity to be on with you and Dawn, and thank you so much for the good work that y'all are doing. And I hope to be in touch with you, and we'll continue to press forward, because next week is the critical week, and we're going to try to get the state lit up to try to make sure that our House of Representative members are, in fact, with us on this. So that's what I'll leave you with. And
thank you, Lou. I've got a question for you, Lou, I will email you about it. Bye, Lou.
Okay, dear. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Dawn, I tell you what, it's come to a head now over here. Wednesday is the D-Day. We are told that there's going to be a hearing, both houses, and the House of Representatives, I think, is going to lead it. And we're hoping that, you know, they'll move on this pretty quickly. But, you know, Don, it's just the more I hear, the more fired up mad I get, because, you know, some of these people just do not have a clue. And there are legislators, and they do not have a clue about really the power that is going to be wielded by the leaders planning Common Core.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this, you know, come on, this reminds us of every bill that has been huge that has gone through, whether it's Washington, D.C., or our own state capitals. You know, you're having people now in D.C. that are shocked at what is going to be implemented through Obamacare. When they had the opportunity to read the bill, they couldn't have been bothered. It's the same thing that happens in your own state capitals every single day. And the fact is, it is so distressing to understand that our representative form of government means these people are skipping the stone across the pond and not realizing that the ripple effects that affect every one of us out here. They are making decisions that are so dangerous to not just our lives, but the generations beyond us, our children, our children's children, and they do it without deliberation. This is the part that just aggravates me to no end. Listen, if you've read the bill and you still think your mantra is this is the most fabulous thing in the world, I think Common Core, I think Obamacare, I think whatever is so fabulous, and you're voting on it, then you know what? Great. You know, at least you had the integrity to actually read about what was going on. But if you're voting and have completely no, and then act exasperated afterwards with us as if somehow overnight mystery words appeared in the document. You know, it is so disheartening to think that in to somebody that has been given, you know, this is the way I look at representatives. You know, you have been given this awesome responsibility, not power, not control, responsibility. You are there to represent what I think, what I feel, what I expect for my district, my community to be. When you are doing your own agenda, you aren't representing me. And they are not doing it with any sense of responsibility. And the people who are going to suffer are the ones that our president loves to put in front of the camera and say, oh, it's about the children. Well, you are out to destroy families and children. And frankly, don't even get me started about how you all feel about abortion and how much you care about the children. But, you know, so here we have a government that wants to do this one world governed education system that is never going to work. Our children, you know, in my state, when I read about how many kids have to have remediation education when they get into a college, our community colleges see a 90% rate of kids needing remediation, meaning that they were not educated K through 12 and have the ability then to get into college and take courses that are college-level courses. We are spending extra money all the time to basically give them a summarized version of K through 12 that they didn't receive, and yet we've been paying for it. You know, I don't want parents to get depressed about this issue. I don't want parents to be afraid. What I want parents to be is pissed off. I mean, that's the way I look at this. Until you are truly angry, until you are truly completely willing to take the responsibility as a parent and say, enough is enough, my children need to do better than I did. We were actually graduating children that don't know how to read and write.
Oh, I had an email from a young man who was going to have done some research on education for the colleges and the help that's out there, and which he had a bottom line that he was saying that it's really what's happening is, you know, they're not properly trained while they were in their K through 12. And I thought, you got it. You got it right. That's the whole problem. But one of the things that he was mentioned as helpful is Common Core. And so I sent him some more information on Common Core because, you know, all the writings that you look when you Google, you see so much stuff on Common Core and that it's being promoted. But what these young people do not realize is the money is what moves these accolades, you know. It's all been bought. All this fluff has been bought. And that's what they're trying to do in our state. All these, I hate to say it, all these legislators, they don't realize it or will not say it. But, you know, those that are against us getting out of Common Core really is, I think, looking at the dollar. And so I'm thinking to myself, whoever signs off and does not support this bill, I can just about bet when the parents really get it what was done to them this time around, I don't think those legislators are going to be in office the next time because I think a lot of these people are going to make sure they do not get a lot of votes.
Well, and you got to
come after the child this time.
This, to me, is, you know, and I'm looking at your legislature right now at the bills that are sitting in your house, and there are all these bills about protecting children, right? Protecting them from abuse, protecting them from crime, all these things to protect children. And yet, in one of the places where they spend the most amount of time, which is school, we are not protecting our children.
It's an oxymoron, I think, that, you know, Common Core is like an oxymoron. It's supposed to make college career-ready kids, but yet I looked at something that Donna Garner had sent, and it's about Sandra Stotsky. Did you get that email, Don, about Sandra Stotsky and Dr. Sandra Stotsky speaking up to the state of Indiana? She was invited for a testimony for a hearing there, and she says, no Common Core college readiness standards for ELA are chiefly empty skill sets and cannot lead to even a meaningful high school diploma. And this is a teacher that formed, this is a professor that formed the best English language art standards in the country. So she knows what she's talking about, and you know, she loves this country so much that she formed the standards for K through 12, and she's giving it away for free. You don't even have to spend a lot of money. These are the excellent standards. But and Dr. Sandra Stotsky is sharing about another thing that she said here: Common Core ELA standards have several major flaws. English teachers tend to spend over 50% of their reading instructional time on informational text at every grade level. College readiness will likely decrease if the secondary English curriculum prioritizes informational reading and reduces the study of complex literary texts. Common Core's 50-50 mandate makes it impossible for English teachers to construct a coherent literature curriculum. This is really a good email. It's got a lot of things that she says, but on the very end, I like what she points here at the very end of what she was saying. She says, Common Core standards cannot be changed. The two organizations that developed Common Core standards have copyrighted their documents. States that have adopted Common Core standards cannot change one word of the standards in them, even if their teachers find the standards confusing, placed at inappropriate levels, or poorly written. States can add up to 15% of their own standards, but must assess this 15% themselves. And I just think about the letter about the two board members that Lou was talking about earlier. You know, they had said that they were going to be the Minuteman. They were going to alert us. And, you know, and they think they have control, but they don't have control. These standards are not going to be state controlled. They're federally controlled standards, and they cannot change them. So right there, I think her statement you would think that these people would listen and learn because that's the position that they're in, Don, is really to study about what is being taught the children of Alabama.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I think anything that gets rolled through our Capitol in a quick fashion is suspect at best. I mean, that's just the way my experience has been in dealing with legislation, is if they do something quickly, it cannot be good for any of us. So, you know, the idea that we've gotten so far away from education of what it was supposed to be anyway. I mean, with the advent of teachers' unions and how much power and control they wield over the system and how big the bureaucracy has become. I mean, I haven't met a parent yet that thinks that we need to have a federal board of education. And yet we have the Federal Board of Education, which is now, you know, dealing out all these things like Common Core and ALA is great curriculum. You know, God forbid my child actually say the Pledge of Allegiance, or really God forbid that they pray in school. But ALA is great curriculum. That's fantastic. You know, it is increasingly the whole economy that business that surrounds education has corrupted the whole system, frankly. I mean, there really is. There's so much money that, you know, even my state, we keep bringing on more and more auxiliary personnel for schools. You know, we have more teachers in schools. You know, anytime they tell you that, oh, we don't have this and we don't have that, and that's why we need more money, you know, it's generally a lie. I mean, that's just the truth. It's a lie. You need to check out where the money's coming from, where it's going to. Every state that said yes to Common Core, I know, you know, said yes because it meant federally mandated money. So the feds were going to, you know, give the state money for education. And guess what? The state said, oh, great, because then I don't have to spend the money I've been keeping for education, and I can buy myself that new Harley.
And that's free money.
Absolutely, and that's the way, you know, it's you know, when we're talking to people in California about education, and you really have to remind them, okay, so we pay our teachers, you and I, the taxpayers pay our teachers, just like our representatives, just like the president, just like Congress. We pay them. Everything they get is on our dime, all their benefits. Heck, even their retirement, they put 8% in California. Well, that's 8% of my money already, and I'm matching it with more of my money. And if you're not discerning as a parent and say, you know what, I don't have to have my kid educated this way. I know not every parent can pull their kid out of school and actually homeschool them, but there are other choices. I think if we start pulling our kids out of these schools, not only do I think that it will make public education better, the studies have proven it.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, the studies have proven it, that you know where the best learning comes from? When it's a mother teaching a child. I researched that, and I was also researching the culture that really excels a lot, and Koreans do, because, you know, they will do everything, including move to the moon to make sure that child goes to college. They do everything to support that child. And go ahead, Don.
That's the other part of us here in the country, that the whole society, our culture has changed, that there doesn't seem to be this, I mean, it begins with personal responsibility. It begins with the personal responsibility of the parent. It begins with the personal responsibility on the child, a parent having expectations of a child to succeed. And there just aren't any. We have gold starred our kids into the stupefying little drones that mimic the garbage that has been fed to them. Their critical thinking is no longer an aspect for anybody. They parrot whatever they hear. And if you're worried, be, you know, even more so, because it's not an ethical, moral standard that they are parroting. You want to know why Johnny goes to school with a gun that where his mom works and shoots up a bunch of kids? You know, let's start looking at the heart of the mental illness in young adults and dealing with that. Let's start looking at the fact that we have more and more kids dropping out before high school that aren't even counted because they've never actually enrolled in high school, so they're not part of the statistic. You know, there really has to be, I think, the personal responsibility of a parent to have an expectation of a child. And I think for the rest of us as taxpayers, you know what? Those parents have a personal responsibility. If nothing else, if you just want to shut me up and show me that I am wrong, please just go to your child's school. Go visit your child's school and see what they're being taught and how they're being taught. And then come back, and if you want to, you know, give me a tongue-lashing, I am more than happy to sit here and listen to it. But don't do it before you understand truly what's happening in the classroom.
Well, I have looked up massresistance.org, and Don, you're probably familiar with that website. And right here in their front page, Massachusetts state education officials released directives to force transgenderism into all schools. Transgender boys playing on girls' sports team, using girls' locker rooms, name and pronoun changes. And, this is the danger of what's really coming before us with Common Core. Is that enough that the Obama administration is interested in the Allah is God curriculum? That is awful. That is bad enough. But when you add it and add the fact that you've got Arnie Duncan, who, you know, wanted to form the first gay school in Chicago, and that they had to hire Kevin Jennings as the faith school czar, who was the president of the Gay, Lesbian, Sex Education, whatever, Straight Network, as the faith school czar, one of those czar appointments, czars by Obama. You really have to be concerned because the proof is in their action. Who do they surround themselves with, and who do they put in our education? So for a parent that says, oh, this is just conspiracy theory, this is not going to happen, you better wake up. You need some bath salts to wake you up.
Even if you're looking at this from a secular perspective, because, you know, we know that very few people, even evangelicals, have a biblical worldview. So let's talk to the people who are not looking at things from a biblical worldview. I remember sex education in school only to the effect that I remember having to have a permission slip. My parents had to sign off on it to opt me in to receive it. I remember getting sex education for the first time in the sixth grade and then again in the eighth grade. I cannot begin to tell you what I actually was supposed to have learned, because other than the very titillating, laughing and giggling that we did, I don't remember anything they taught me. But my point is here that my parents were the ones to make the decision of whether or not I participated in that curriculum, because my parents actually believed it is within the family's right to discuss and educate us on such matters. And I got to tell you, we don't have the pregnancy rates we do of under 18 girls because they're not getting enough gay sex education. This is a special interest lobby, just like oil, just like logging, just like the agriculture, big pharma. LGBT is a special interest lobby. And they are not out to help your kid be educated and be more tolerant. They are out to make it acceptable. Well, that's fine, except that you're not doing it in a way that makes people think, hey, you're just like the rest of us. You're doing it in a way that makes you want to feel special, above us, different than us. But then you tell us you don't want us to treat you any differently. Well, it's not the school's responsibility to teach my child about these things. And the fact that parents are not being permitted to opt in or out of these things is completely unacceptable. I know if they, we put a program together, you and I and a bunch of other people that had dealt with tolerance in Christianity, do you think for one second there would be a Christian czar added to the administration or that we'd get that into a school? So you got to ask yourself, I think, as a parent, why is this stuff coming in? Why? What does this have to do with educating my child? They are trying to mold your kids and change the model of behavior, and that's the whole point of it. They're pliant. If we talk about this stuff enough, if we put it in their face, we let them know that all authority says this is completely acceptable and this is the way they should be, then we won't have to deal with them later. We can pass anything we want through the legislation because these people have grown up with it.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, I'm looking at another thing here on mass resistance, which you have to really be prayerful when you look at some of these things because it really makes you upset. But one of them is shocking how the Massachusetts transgender rights law is changing the schools. Schools in Massachusetts will be seeing a lot more of these. And here's a poster. It's got red circled with a red circle. Red is, it says where. Red, AIDS Awareness Day on Monday. Yellow on Tuesday for Transgender Day. Green on Wednesday for In-Between Day. And so on and so on. You know, it's just, and this is in our schools. You know, this is about learning. This is about learning. This is what they are promoting in Massachusetts. And that's the way we will go because according to the words of Kevin Jennings, I know he was, you know, we've got these old blogs from Donna Gardner and I've kept them and every once in a while I remember what was said, Don, and, you know, I will print it. And one of them is right now, this is words from Kevin Jennings, the former state school czar. He's went on to better things, but you can bet your life he's not stopped, you know. It says, right now they're really focused on the academic standards, talking about Common Core. This one is much newer. We have to build understanding of the concept first. We're not first up to bat, and I'm not troubled by that. The Common Core movement is right to start on things where there's already widespread agreement. We're way down the road. And this, the article, the author of the article says, seriously, a high-ranking administration official is telling us that the common standards being financed by $350 million in Race to the Top funds start with academics but will eventually encompass school climate. Standards, too, Jennings raises further red flags when he concedes that we have not determined the definition of school climate. And I seem to have read something about climate, and it's not talking about the weather. Anyway, though he says it does not include air conditioning, but does include kids feeling emotionally safe. Maybe it's my cynical street, but that sounds like a summons to social agendas, cultural clashes, and political fisticuffs. In other words, the stuff that sinks standards. Mr. Jennings' remarks raised concerns about the old bait and switch. If he's speaking for Secretary Duncan and the President, they seem to have been less than truthful so far when discussing their vision for common standards. If not, a President speaking by partisan committee might want to encourage Mr. Jennings not to suggest that the department is covertly planning to drive a massive state, 48-state effort into a familiar ditch or to turn it into a Trojan horse. And I'm thinking with Arnie Duncan as head of education who pushed for Chicago to have the first gay high school, how can parents really in states afford to be ignorant with a past right out there and they've said it. They've said what their plans are. You know,
always just upsets me about this is that, you know, I don't understand why parents aren't saying things like, oh, okay, so this is a special interest you think the school should support, then let's make sure that we have our Christian club set up in here and that there's no bullying to our Christian students and that you will see very heavy consequences if somebody does something that is considered intolerant to the Christian students. Let's make sure we allow Bibles to be on every desk because we want to make sure we're being inclusive and tolerant. Let's make sure that we pray in school in deference to our Christian students. Let's make sure that the only people we hire have an absolute tolerance for Christianity, Judeo-Christian doctrine and beliefs. And there's going to be a lot of people out there, as I'm saying that, says this is never going to happen. Yeah, but look at what is happening. But you're okay with what is happening? And none of this, explain to me how any of this has to do with educating your child.
Don, I think I may have lost you, Don. Well, I am so sorry. We experienced a little bit of a technical difficulty there. But, folks, this is it. We have to be very careful. These are the times that we live in, dangerous times, and we really need your help. We need for you to get informed. And I'm just going to read a few things here that we believe you should know when you are told that this is to make kids college and career ready. The standards weren't even tested, yet the states already signed onto them. They agreed to the Common Core State Standards as part of their application to get raised to the top grant. That was in their application, which the Department of Ed released applications in November 2009, and the applications were due in January 2010. And states, part of their application was for them to agree to these Common Core standards. And yet these standards weren't even published until June 2010. So right there, you need to know as a parent, grandparent, whoever you are, they signed on to something that was even finished yet, wasn't even tested, but yet, you know, it's being touted as the best thing since sliced bread. And as one professor, Jim Milgram, who's one of the professors in the National Validation Committee of this Common Core, he could not believe what he was seeing. He said that the requirement to automaticity on their own self-invented algorithms was one of the political issues that came in at the last moment, and that it's absolutely crazy. And he said, and then there was an entire list of similars that made equally no sense whatsoever in terms of the long-term development of children's mathematical capacity. So what he's saying is that, you know, instead of really setting it out where children will learn math, political issues came in at the last moment. And so, you know, for you to think that this was set up to really make your child be the best educated children, that warning right there should alert you to the fact that, no, that's not what it's set up for. But anyway, we hope you will go to www.cityonahill.tv. Get educated on Common Core standards. We've had many, numerous interviews with leaders on this issue, and we have a major fight here in the state of Alabama. We hope you will have a major fight on this issue, on your children's education. You, as a parent or grandparent, knows you need to be part of the input. Unfortunately, Common Core takes your input out of it. So that's the basic story of it, and really that's the most powerful point. How can things be better for your children when your input is not to be anywhere as part of helping your child have a better education? But anyway, thank you for listening. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. And I'm just going to say a real quick prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity again to speak about these key issues that are, Lord, tender to you, because we know that you love the children. And you said, suffer not the little children to come unto you. And Lord, you said it's better to hang a millstone around our neck than to lead the little ones into sin. And Lord, this Common Core standards and the people that will be that are planning it and the people that unfortunately will be teaching it will be leading the children away from you, leading them into sin. So Lord, we just pray that right now the state of Alabama will make a stand, that parents will contact their legislature, email them, call them, that it would make a difference so that, Lord, that their legislators would vote accordingly, not according to the dictates of leaders that really have money in mind or power or control, but instead, Lord, that they will listen to the cries of the parents who want nothing more than the best for their children. And, Lord, we ask that you bless that. You said to ask, and if it be according to thy will, shall be done. And we ask, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have mercy upon us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.